Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 here in Building 17 with the Chakra team. I'm here with Etienne. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do here.
Hi, guys. So Etienne, I'm a software engineer intern at Microsoft in the Chakra team who is working on the JavaScript runtime for Microsoft Edge. And today we'll talk about the async function.
So async is a little bit, that seems like a C-sharp thing. So before we get into it, is async something that's part of the language for Microsoft or part of the language for JavaScript in general?
It's a part of JavaScript in general. It's a new feature from MSScript 2016.
Okay.
And so actually Microsoft is the first to implement it. And actually also Mozilla is working on, and I don't know for Google and for Apple.
Well, that's awesome. Well, tell us, let's dive in.
Yeah, sure. So async function will provide you an easy way to perform asynchronous code and an easy way to get results from an asynchronous code thanks to two new keywords that will be async and await. If you do C-sharp, it's something you will probably ever use before. And just to know, async await keyword are one of the killer features of C-sharp.
Nice.
So it's something very cool to implement in JavaScript.
So in I know C-sharp a little bit better than JavaScript. In C-sharp, when you use async await, what it's really doing is it's sort of wrapping this whole task object. My understanding is that in JavaScript, there's a promise object that's analogous. Is that
exactly
the case?
Exactly. It's the case. Basically, when you use an async function, it will return a promise in JavaScript. And you will be able to use the await keyword to perform like a then with a promise, just to intercept the result of this promise and return it.
OK. Cool. Well, let's dive in. Do you have a demo?
Sure, sure. So first of all, if you want to use it in Microsoft Edge, you will need to check the Enable Experimental JavaScript feature directly in Microsoft Edge by going to the address about flags, like this. And here is a very simple example of how you can use the async and await keywords in with the async function. So actually, we have here a function called doSomething that will just do something with some numbers. And you will see that we have two new keywords. The first is async. When you use async here at the beginning of the function, you will say that this function is asynchronous. So actually, this function with this keyword will return a promise in the future. And after, you can see that we will recall our function at the third line with the return await doSomething. So it's recursivity. But this kind, in this case, we use await keyword. And with this await keyword, we say that, hey, I don't want to run this function asynchronously. I want to use it to call it synchronously. And so wait for the result of this function before continuing.
I see.
So in this case, our return with the await will return the real value of do something instead of a promise. It returns the return that we use after with at the last line.
I see. So it's if it's waiting for do something, which is waiting for the other do something, it's going to go all the way down to the bottom and just sort of start popping back up.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's a really I don't know. Is there a real life demo that you could do of something that's not like counting down recursively?
No, sure. I can do a live demo.
Okay, nice.
That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a small page I developed just to show you a demo. So what this page will do is that we have a path here to a JSON file, and we want to download and display this file in the bottom, like this.
Got it. And that's like the definition of doing something asynchronously, because you're gonna. You don't want to hang and wait for some file to come over the network. You just want to.
Exactly. So in our case, it's very fast because I'm in localhost, so we don't have the time of the download. So it's very fast. So we don't have the impression it's asynchronous. But I will show you in the code that it's it.
All right. Let's see.
So here is the code of my page on left, and on right is the JSON file I want to show.
Okay.
So at the bottom of the file, I have some HTML tags that show that we have just an input with a text, a button, and a code tag that will show the JSON code we download. And if we have a problem, we'll show an error here.
Got it.
So now in my JavaScript file, I have three functions. The first function is HTTP GET, which returns a simple promise, and inside we just download a file thanks to a simple HTTP request, as you do usually in JavaScript.
This is like the standard way of doing async await, but with promises.
Exactly.
Okay.
And now we have a second function that will call our HTTP GET, but this one is called HTTP GET JSON. In this case, we use the async keyword. With the async keyword, so we say once again that this function is asynchronous.
Mm-hmm.
And in the return here, we'll use the keyword await to say, hey, I want to call this function. So I use a promise because I'm like obligated to use a promise when I do an HTTP request. But in my case, I say wait, wait the end, and get the result, and return. And that's all.
I see. So in this case, it's getting the file, and the await is going to make it get the file, and it's not going to continue execution until it gets that
exactly.
file. Okay.
So basically, we can just say that this line is run synchronously instead of asynchronously.
Right.
And otherwise, we just check if our file is finishing by .json, just for the demo. And if it's not the case, we just throw an error. And what's happened if we throw an error, usually in a promise? The promise just stop. We agree. In our case, when we throw an error in an async function, we'll reject a promise. With this, you will be able to manage the error higher in the stack, if you want.
That's much nicer, because generally, if there's some weird error and all of a sudden your promises get all unhinged, you don't know what's returning when.
Exactly.
But instead of just breaking execution, you call the reject part of the promise, which is because you have the next one, and then you have the what happens if it fails.
Yes, and that's also. And so after, we have a last function that this function is run synchronously. It's the normal function. And inside, we just call our HTTP GET JSON. This time, we don't use the await keyword. So in this case, the function is running asynchronously.
Mm-hmm.
And also, an important point, you cannot use an await keyword outside of an async function, including the global scope.
Yeah.
And so in this case, we just, as we want to do something with the results, we just do a then and a catch, as we usually do with a promise.
Got it.
And so now, what's happened if I run this, if I do my demo?
Uh-huh.
So now when I click on download a display, you can see that we download the JSON file and displays. But now what's happened if I put a wrong extension? For example, instead of putting .json, we say .json at. In this case, when I click on, we throw an error. And instead of just throwing a normal error, we will reject a promise. And that's why I can manage it in the catch part here.
I see. Because traditionally speaking, if there's just some weird error, you're not going to be able to catch it because it's just going to go off into somewhere else.
Exactly.
Okay. And then with this particular implementation of async and wait, instead of you can throw an error inside of the async function, but under the covers we're going to be calling the reject function.
That's true.
Cool. Yeah. let's see when the file's not there.
Okay. And so the last part of the demo is like if you put a wrong file, like a file that doesn't exist, for example. And you use it once again in my first function, which was HTTP GET. We reject the promise, and once again we'll intercept it in our async function with the await keywords. And so once again you will see the message, and we can show it in the catch function that we used after in this part.
Got it. So that's really interesting. So now my question is more of, it feels like you could do this already in JavaScript now with promises.
That's true, but it's much longer.
So tell us, what is the benefit of doing it here? Do you have some kind of way of explaining this?
Yeah, so basically you can see that this code is pretty small and pretty readable. We can do the same in JavaScript without the async and await keyword. Exactly the same behavior, but it's much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we do something with our own function that we call it a spawn function. And this spawn function is implemented directly in Chakra. I will show you it.
Let's see.
Well, so this is a schema that represents how Chakra works.
Okay.
So in our parts, we have a source code this source code is going to the parser. This parser will generate an IST, IST for abstract syntax tree.
Okay.
With this IST, we'll generate a bytecode, and with this bytecode, we'll get a machine code that will be able to run it directly. And so this is how work the Chakra engine. We have seen it in several articles in the Microsoft Edge Dev blogs. And so if you want, you can see it.
Sure, absolutely.
And so actually, in this schema, what we have in green is the part when we did the major part of the changement to implement the async anyway keyword. And so inside, we'll call a function that we'll implement. And this function is in the specification of the async away keyword that we'll be able to find at the end of the video, for the link, I mean. And so we just implement this function directly in C++. I can show you how is it exactly.
So you're talking about this function called spawn. What does it do?
This spawn function will manage the behavior that you have with async away keyword. That means this function will first return a promise. And secondly, it will try to detect if we have, for example, an away keyword. If this is the case, we will try to see if we have, for example, an error in this function that we call our expression. And if it's the case, we will just reject the promise instead of just throwing a normal expression.
It's like cleaning up and making sure everything's okay.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's see what it looks like.
Yes. So here we have on the left the first function I show you in my slide at the beginning. So you can find once again the async keyword, and as you can see, also the async and await keyword are not implemented in the Visual Studio Code yet, but will be soon. And so actually, this function, just for a reminder, will be run asynchronously, and here we'll wait the end of another promise to return the value. And this is the behavior that we have on right. So on right, here I have exactly the same function. This is what is generated by the parser. So we get this kind of AST in Chakra. So inside, we don't have the async keyword anymore. But we have a return with a call to the spawn function that I will show you just after on the top. And inside this spawn function, we have a generator. With this generator, we'll be able to use the keyword yield inside. So it's like exactly like in C# when you use an enumerable.
So this is new. I mean, I've never seen a generator function in JavaScript. Is this something in ECMAScript 5 or 6?
It's something from ECMAScript 6.
OK.
So yeah, 6. But I think function is coming from ECMAScript 2016.
I see. And so this is something that you can do in ECMAScript 6 now?
Yes.
And this is just like a coroutine that will sort of yield stuff back and forth?
Yes, exactly.
OK.
And so in our case, we use, instead of using the await keyword we have here, we'll use the yield keyword. And after, as this function will just return a promise, as I said from the beginning of this video, we are able to use the then function to get a value and return it.
I see. And so let's see if I understand what's going on. So on the left, it's what you type in. On the right is what the AST is translated into.
Yes.
OK. OK. Got it.
Yeah, so yeah, just remove a small part in the code because it was not exactly the same behavior, but that's fine.
Okay.
Now, this spawn function, we have this function at the top of my file here. And so basically, in this spawn function, we return a simple promise with inside a resolve and a reject, as usual when you do a promise. And inside, we'll call another function called steps. And inside, we have a step. Each step is called for each await keyword we can or not have in our async function. And so for each await keyword we have, we try to see, is there any error inside? For example, if it's the case, we'll reject the promise. That's how I can manage the error higher in the stack.
Okay.
And else, I will just resolve the promise. Everything's working perfectly. You can continue.
So this function is literally sort of managing the whole workflow of a chain of promises. Got it.
And so all these functions that you have here Of course, here it's in JavaScript, just to show you the behavior. You can find this function exactly the same in the specification of the async await keyword. But for us, in our pad, to get more performances, we wrote this function directly in C++, in Chakra.
I see. So now what you're saying, so now I see the benefit here. Not only do you get sort of a more optimized code, because you can use async await, you don't have to, you're not cleaning up after everything. Well, you are if there's an error, but it's going to happen in the right spot. But not only that, when you do the translation into the AST, you get the function here that's below using the generator functions, and you're calling into a spawn method that's written into C++.
That's true.
And so it's going to be much faster.
It will be faster. Totally faster.
Because it's not interpreted anymore, it's just machine.
Yes, that's what we do with Chakra for a couple of years now. Instead of just interpreting JavaScript, we compile it. Directly compile it.
I see. Well, that's fantastic. Well, cool. Well, let's see. So is it? I know you have another slide that sort of explains this process again. Because I think maybe we need another refresher here.
Yes, sure. Yeah, so once again, if we come back to this schema, so just to remind, the green part is corresponding to the part where we do the change to implement the async functions. And in our case, the parser and the AST are used to generate a call to our spawn function I just showed before.
Right. And this is what you're doing is you're changing the async await function into a regular function with a generator that calls spawn in the C++.
Exactly.
Okay.
And after, in the bytecode generator, directly in C++, we do the implementation of this spawn function. Thanks to several functions that we wrote, because of course we a JavaScript cannot be translated directly in C++.
Yeah, of course.
So we need to use several technical things to reproduce the same behavior. And that's it. We just after in the bytecode we just have to put like a flag. If you imagine some assembly code, so we can imagine a new flag or keyword if you want. Just say hey, in this part we'll call our spawn function in the machine code and interpreter profiling interpreter. Sorry.
That's awesome. So this is pretty cool. So now we get the benefit of shortening our code, making it a lot more understandable. You'll do the translation, but also you'll mix in there some native stuff to make it a little bit faster.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool. Where can we go to learn more?
You can follow us on Twitter, of course. You can ask your question on Connect. You can see all our specification of async await wrote by Mozilla, Google, and Microsoft on the link that you see in the screen. And you can also follow my senior program manager, Brian Talson, who participated to the write of the async await keyword. So it's at B. Talson. And myself, Etienne Baudoux, at Vidar Software.
Well, fantastic. Thanks for spending some time with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for watching. Again, we're with the Chakra team, learning how they implemented async and await in ECMAScript 2016.
Yes.
Thanks so much for watching, and we will catch you next time. Take care.
See you.